The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Hey, I want to say once again, thank you to the sponsor for this episode, Clone a Willy. And later in the show, we're actually going to hear from listeners of Sex Out Loud who got free kits and made their own silicone dildos from their penises or their partner's penis. It's wow. The feedback has been really good and detailed. So you got to stay tuned to hear that. I want to remind you that I'm going to be running all over the place in October, October 15th to the 17th. I am one of the keynotes, and my guest today is one of the other keynotes for Sex Down South in Atlanta. Go to sexdownsouth.com. It's going to be fantastic, and I can't wait to get to Atlanta. October 18th is my Sex Educator Bootcamp 1.5 in Washington, D.C. All the information about tickets, etc., is up on my website, puckerup.com, click on tour, or if you're at work, tristantaramino.com, click on tour. October 19th, which is a Monday, I'm teaching anal sex for everyone at Sugar in Baltimore. And finally, really excited to announce that November 15th in Los Angeles, I am teaching Opening Up, an open relationship intensive. This is the first of its kind for me. It's a really intense workshop. It's 4 hours long, so we can go much deeper. And all the information about registering and tickets is up on my website. So check that out, and I'll keep reminding you. Don't worry. Let me tell you about today's guest. Amy Jo Goddard earned her master's in human sexuality education and has 2 decades of experience teaching and writing about sexuality. She speaks at colleges, communities, and conferences and delivered a TEDx talk in 2013 called Owning Your Sexual Power. An advocate for adult sex education, she teaches women's sexual empowerment programs, couples programs, and maintains a private coaching practice. She's the co-author of Lesbian Sex Secrets for Men, which was just released in its second edition, and her newest book, Woman on Fire, 9 Elements to Wake Up Your Erotic Energy, Personal Power, and Sexual Intelligence, which was just released by Penguin Random House. Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, Amy Jo.
Thank you, Tristan. It's great to be here.
So at the beginning of this book, you talk about how many of us, many women, kind of lose our own sexual power. Like we get off track. And as we get off track, we kind of move farther away from our sexuality and our power. I want to set the stage for that. How do you think that happens for people?
Oh, I think it happens in a lot of ways. I think the biggest thing is that we are all swimming in this, you know, sex negative cultural soup, where we're learning to diminish our sexuality, where our bodies are often diminished or judged, where we think we have to perform sexually in a particular way. And so then we're comparing ourselves against a lot of false standards that really don't serve us to figure out what it is we really do want. And we're being told what to want from the beginning. And, you know, I think women in particular, and particularly heterosexual women, we're following a model of sexuality that really isn't about us. And I think it's getting better. I think that, you know, I mean, amazing work has been done, and just in the time that I've been in the field, certainly a lot of the conversation about sexuality has changed. But I still hear the same stories from women over and over, that they're having really unsatisfying sex, that they don't know what they want. And I think they don't know what they want because they're following the sexuality of their male partners. And it's a very limited idea of what sex should look like and of what pleasure should look like. And so I think that serves to really disconnect us from what feels really authentic. And so then I think for women who, you know, and people, I mean, really, but I primarily work with women. So I wrote the book focused on women, but certainly people, you know, of all genders could glean a lot from it. But I think for the people who get to the point where they realize they want something more, it feels overwhelming. It feels like this big, you know, I call the first chapter the big round ball. It feels like this big round ball, this overwhelming monolith of a thing. And like, how do I start? Where do I get in? Because they've been told what to want. We've been told what to want our whole lives.
Well, and also, it seems like this goes back even farther from before, you know, the current relationship that you're in, which is that many of the voices that we hear in the book grew up in religious households, grew up in sex negative households, grew up in situations where they were shamed directly for their sexuality. Mm-hmm. So it seems like we also have to shed baggage that is old stuff, really old stuff.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think I've had a client yet who didn't have some bit of deep shame about either her sexuality itself, her body, how she does sex, how she expresses herself. There's so many ways that we get shamed. And that's, you know, I talked about that in my TEDx talk, because that's such a core piece of the work.
Yeah.
You know, we have to make room, you know, and that I talk about that in the release chapter. We have to make room. Mm-hmm. And it's getting, that's such a huge piece of what we have to shed so that we can make the space to actually have the things we really do want.
So the book is called Woman on Fire, everyone. I want to remind you, 9 elements to wake up your erotic energy, personal power, and sexual intelligence. It is remarkable. I want to say that I read a lot of books on sex, Amy Jo, as you know.
You know, you are an avid reader.
I probably read a book a week, if not more. And what I want everyone to know about this book is that it's extraordinary and it's unique and it's actually useful. Okay? Because I think sometimes these ideas about sexuality get kind of recirculated. And even if they are about sexual empowerment, it's sort of like the same language and the same tropes. And I feel like you take an entirely unique approach to the subject. And then you give people actual tools to help them possibly get where they want to go.
Yes.
Now, lots of the stories in the book are about your program, The Sexually Empowered Life. So this is a 6-month program for women. There are live meetings. There are online interactions. Tell me about this program.
It used to be 6 months, and it kept expanding. You know, it's evolved over the years. We do over 9 months now, and we do 4 in-person live retreat weekends. And each, you know, so we do a weekend about every 2 months. And then you know, I do coaching calls with the group, and sometimes if they want individual attention with individuals throughout the program. And, you know, each weekend has a theme, and, you know, we start with that shame piece. We start with unpacking that and unpacking the sexual story. And that's why voice is the first element in the book, because I always start there. You know, and so I talk about there's the internal voices and then the external voice and how we're able to externalize the things that we are thinking and wanting and desiring and all of that. But we do some really beautiful work in looking at, well, what is the sexual story you've been telling yourself? What's the sexual story you've lived? You know, there's been all these important moments, and so we do some work on really looking at, you know, if we looked at our lives and our sexual lives as a lifeline, you know, but there's this lifeline we've had. What are those really key moments? And so we really open things up and make some space in the very beginning of the program. And we do a special sexual archetype ritual, and I bring in a lot of people for that, and it's quite a production. So we start there, and then the next weekend, you know, so each weekend builds on the other, you know, and then we move into the body, and we do a whole weekend that's just on the body and pleasure. And then we move into a whole weekend on desire and communication, which was the weekend that we added. It used to be 3 weekends. And then I was like, oh my God, we need another weekend. Like there's so much, so much to talk about and to help people with. And then the last weekend is a lot about play and bringing more ritual into our sexual lives. And I teach a lot of my work on dirty talk. And so we do a lot of play and we make it really fun and we have our graduation. So there's an arc to the program. And, you know, every time it's different and it's always miraculous what happens when women get into a room together. And there's an open and really welcoming space for them to talk about sexuality in a way that most people never do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's so much in this book. There are 9 elements. That's how the book is organized. You only just said one, and I want to hear about all of them. But we've got to take a break already. Do you believe that?
I believe it.
Okay. Okay. So, coming up next, we are going to talk about, like I said, those 9 elements in Amy Jo's new book, Woman on Fire. So don't go anywhere.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Hi, everyone. It's Tristan, and I'm so excited that this episode of Sex Out Loud is sponsored by Clone a Willy. Clone a Willy is a kit that comes with everything you need to make a vibrating silicone replica of any penis in the comfort of your own home. Clone a Willy is created by a sex-positive company based in Portland, Oregon, and uses only body-safe materials. Keep your lover with you at all times with the most personalized sex toy on the planet. Visit cloneawilly.com to see the full selection of 100% platinum cure silicone Clone a Willy and Clone a Pussy kits. Enter promo code SEXOUTLOUD at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Clone a Willy is more than a sex toy. It's an experience.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Today I'm talking with Amy Jo Goddard about her brand new book, which was just released, called Woman on Fire: 9 Elements to Wake Up Your Erotic Energy, Personal Power, and Sexual Intelligence. We talked about the voice as one of your elements before the break. So I hope you might give people a taste for what the other elements are. Just a little piece to give them a sense of what's in the book.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about release, which is the second element. You know, voice and release, really figuring out, you know, what do we need to do to make space for the sexual self that you've been waiting for. And I think, you know, and that's what I really hear from women when they come in. It's, they know that there's something richer and deeper there, and they just haven't been able to access it. And so release is really about getting rid of all of those things that they've believed they're supposed to be, and all that shame and stuff we talked about that are getting in the way, you know, and sometimes trauma, oftentimes traumas, you know, and so finding some peace with those parts or doing some healing work and really kind of doing some excavation to make some room. And then emotion, you know, it was really important to me to address emotion in a meaningful way in this book, and it's because it's certainly a big part of the work that I do with women. And I think there are so many patterns, so many emotional patterns we have that keep us from being powerful and keep us from showing up as the self that we really want to show up as in our relationships. You know, we all have those patterns and things that we've learned. So that chapter is dense. There's so much in it. It overwhelms me when I read it, actually. but there's a lot of tools and a lot of really specific examples to help women or the readers to really look at how those patterns are showing up and the kinds of dynamics they're creating in their relationships. And I think I really think that that's probably the most important one in many ways, because I think some of the richest work that any human being can do on themselves is really contained in that piece. One of the very common emotional patterns that I work on with women, and I would say that every single client I've ever worked with has had a pattern around, is people pleasing, and the ways in which that manifests in their sexual lives are many. It also manifests in other areas. We really look at many of the ways we give away our power, and I talk about that later in the book. But that people-pleasing pattern, I think, really prevents women from being their authentic selves, from showing up sometimes for the right reasons. And it's a way in which I think women, you know, and people in general who have that pattern leave themselves. You know, I call it, you know, abandoning the self. And there's lots of ways we abandon ourselves. And, you know, and I get to that later in the book, again, in home. I'm kind of jumping, but it's really related. So so that emotion piece is big. So that's the third element.
And so there are these stories in the book written by women who have been through your program and who you've coached. Yeah. And it's really great to hear them, because they're women from many, many different backgrounds with many different life experiences, kind of all coming to you at a different place, a different moment. The only thing they have in common is they want change in some way, right?
Yeah.
But it also struck me that these women are exceptionally self-aware and articulate. So while we're in the emotion element, I want to know, could the average woman or someone who's never had therapy or done any self-help access this program?
Yes, it depends. I guess the answer is it depends. The women who are, you know, there is definitely a consistency in the clients that I work with. they've done work on themselves. You know, I always say, I'm not your first stop on self-transformation highway. You know,
okay.
You've done some work. You've either done some therapy or the healing work or the women's circles or the Reiki, the, you know, whatever, the things that have helped you in your path of self-development. And so a self-development language is not a new thing for most of the women who come to me. I mean, that said, I have had, there is a client who told her story in that book who came to me very young. She was the youngest client I'd ever had.
In her 20s, I remember. She was
22 when she came to me. And she had had some really intense trauma as a kid. And so she just knew she had to do this work. I mean, it was just undeniable. You know, she had done some therapy when she was a kid, but she was ready at a young age in a way that I don't think all women are, and I don't think most women are. I think generally when women show up to do this kind of work, they're at least in their mid-30s usually, because I think it takes that long to kind of bring this part to the fore for a lot of people. It also requires a lot of investment of time and money and energy and focus. And so I think there's a certain maturity that a lot of the women have, and a certain resolve that they have by the time they come. They're ready.
And that's clear. Yeah. That's clear in their stories for sure. I mean, it's some of these stories were so powerful to me simply because it was women speaking in a really self-aware, compassionate way about their sexual selves. Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me that we still don't hear those stories enough.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's my favorite part of the book. Their stories are so beautiful. I love them. And they, yeah, I mean, many of them are creative people, so they know how to write. They know how to use their words in an effective way. And some of those women have worked with me for a long time, too. And so they've gleaned a lot from the work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not like they wouldn't have been able to talk about their process in the beginning. They're all people who have come out the other side.
Okay, so from emotion, where do we go next?
We go to the body. I mean, we go to the body, you know. There's so much I could have talked about in the body chapter. I struggled with that chapter to figure out, you know, what are the things people need the most. So the first half of it really does look at culture and a lot of the myths and lies that we've been told about our bodies, which some of us feel like we've heard ad nauseum, and I think a lot of us still need to hear. So I felt like I did need to really explore that a little bit, but I really wanted to do a lot of education in the book. I'm kind of an anatomy geek, and I love teaching about the body and how pleasure works. And that's so important for our empowerment. You know, if we don't understand how our bodies work and how our pleasures work, which many women do not, then of course we're not going to be as connected to it. Of course we're not going to experience the pleasure we want to experience. So
I was just saying this the other day to someone who was making videos about, you know, with sex tips. And I said, you know, I really need you to put the anatomy piece in there. And I don't need you to make it boring, but it's a newsflash for people to learn about the clitoral body.
Yes.
It is a newsflash for people to know that the clitoris has legs.
Yes.
That's actually pretty revolutionary. Like, we haven't gotten to the point where every woman knows her own anatomy.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's not taught. We don't learn it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
when it is taught, it's just vagina, 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 which doesn't bring us that much pleasure. It does bring some of us pleasure, but isn't, you know, but there's no discussion really still of the clitoris. I mean, in all the work that Betty Dodson's done, like, you'd think that now every high schooler would, you know, have a whole map of the clitoris, but that hasn't happened yet.
No. I mean, there are still school systems that will purposefully leave the clitoris out. I mean, I've heard of school boards deciding they were going to teach every anatomical part except the clitoris because it didn't have any function that was important.
Because,
you know, pleasure is not that important. We
right.
don't want children about pleasure.
Right.
So,
right.
They don't know sex is supposed to feel good. So, yeah.
One of the things you also say in the book is that you don't have to be having sex to be sexually empowered.
Yeah.
Talk more about that.
You know, it's really important to me. I love when women show up to work on it for themselves and not because it's about 50-50. You know, some come when they're on their own and they just want to do this for them. And then some come because they're in a relationship where something has come to the fore, or something's wonky, it's not working, they've got to figure it out. Because they're in distress in the relationship. And there's nothing wrong with either one, but I love when the women show up who are just ready to do it for themselves and know that it's not about pleasing someone else or fixing a relationship or anything of that nature. And again, not that there's anything wrong with I mean, I think that's wonderful if you're in a relationship and you seek out support when you need it. But I think a lot of people see sexuality as just sex and as just what happens between two or more people. And we don't talk about sexuality culturally as a force that is just within each individual, and that you get to choose to use however you want to use it, and you get to share it with whoever you want to share it with, but it's not just about sex. And so I think that's one of the big things I really wanted to address in the book is to get people to get that. And that's why it's called Woman on Fire. It is about the individual and her own journey to that place of really embracing her personal power.
And from the body, where do we go to the next element?
We go to desire, which is the thing women come to me with issues about more than anything else. And
this chapter by far, I thought, was just, I mean, this is the conversation we need to be happening. And, you know, I had Emily Nagoski on the program, and I love her new book about, like, sort of the science of desire, which also has a lot of education in it. But this was a talk about desire that was really profound.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, there's so much in the way of us just connecting to our own desires. So many women are not able to articulate their own desires. And it goes back to what we talked about earlier. I think they're following the desires of, you know, oftentimes their male partners or just what they've been told to want from whoever. And so when we really get down to, well, if we could set all of that aside, what would you really want? That's a huge question.
And some people don't know.
You
say in the book, some people don't even know.
Yeah. Because I think we don't even know what's on the menu, you know? It's like, well, oh, I could want something besides a penis and a vagina, you know? And then, again, there's nothing wrong with a penis and a vagina, you know? But our ideas about sex and what its parameters are so limited. And so I think when you open the possibility up, you know, you have to show people what many of those possibilities are, and get them to think about it as something that can continually expand. You know, I mean, I've been teaching for over 20 years and studying sexuality, and I've had, you know, lots of amazing teachers, and I'm still always learning more about my own desire and new fun things to try and discover, and you know, there's it's endless. It is endless if we allow it to be. But most of us are very limited in the way we approach it.
And we feel like it's a static thing. Do you agree with that?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, sexuality is so dynamic. I mean, that's what's exciting about it. It changes, it evolves. And I think people see it as this thing, okay, I get to the certain level and then we just keep it status quo. We just, okay, then it's just going to go on autopilot. And so then when things go wrong in the relationship, or it's not working well, or they age and their bodies are changing, or they have a health issue and something shifts, it's like, what do I do? And I think it's a continued process to say, well, what is this body capable of today? What does this body want now? Maybe it's very different from what it wanted 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I know it is for me.
Oh, it absolutely is for me. Absolutely. It's funny because in that section of the book where you talk about sort of letting go of your story, you know, I feel like I have a particular story of me in my 20s, which is very different from the story of me in my 30s, which is different from the story of me in my 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just constantly sort of evolving. Okay, we're going to evolve right into a commercial break. Yes, we are. We've almost gotten through all nine elements, so I feel like people are going to get a good feel for this book, which they should all run out and buy, period. Okay, so stay with us. More of the elements, more on sexual empowerment, and more with Amy Jo Goddard when we return.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Hi, everyone. It's Tristan, and I'm so excited that this episode of Sex Out Loud is sponsored by Clone a Willy. Clone a Willy is a kit that comes with everything you need to make a vibrating silicone replica of any penis in the comfort of your own home. Clone a Willy is created by a sex-positive company based in Portland, Oregon, and uses only body-safe materials. Keep your lover with you at all times with the most personalized sex toy on the planet. Visit cloneawilly.com to see the full selection of 100% platinum cure silicone Clone a Willy and Clone a Pussy kits. Enter promo code SEXOUTLOUD at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Clone a Willy is more than a sex toy. It's an experience.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I've been talking with Amy Jo Goddard, who is a sexual empowerment coach, sexuality educator, and the author of the new book, Woman on Fire, 9 Elements to Wake Up Your Erotic Energy, Personal Power, and Erotic Intelligence. Now, if you're listening live, I will let you know that tonight in the San Francisco Bay Area is a launch party for this book. Yeah, we're getting Amy Jo like right at the height of her of what's going on. So this is pre-recorded in case you hadn't guessed. And she's like on her way to her party right now. And then also in November 7th in New York City, there's also a launch party for the book and to celebrate Amy Jo's birthday. So you can check all that out on amyjogoddard.com. You can find out more about that. Amy Jo, what strikes me in some of these stories, which are interestingly split into parts, this person's part one, sort of when they came to you, and then the part two, of what they learned and how they changed. But for each woman, the commonality seemed to be that there was a kind of a ripple effect. Which makes me think of that great line from Heroes, which is save the cheerleader, save the world. So in other words, they claimed their sexual power and these non-sexual elements of their lives improved, opened up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think sexuality is that core. It's that important. That's my worldview. And I talk about that pretty unabashedly in the book. I really think that sexuality is so personal and core to who we are that when we feel powerful there, we're unstoppable. It's, you know, when they'll ask for more money, I've watched my clients make incredible things happen in their lives, publish books, get TV shows, like step out in the public eye. I've watched them really change the tenor of their relationships, the quality of the people that come into their lives, sometimes the way they arrange their lives, because there's this idea that, like, I'm not going to settle anymore. I know this thing about myself. I have this core power that I've really owned and stepped into, and all this other, like, bullshit is not going to stop me anymore. And yeah, I think it is that big.
I mean, it's clear from the stories that it's that big. Okay, I don't want to leave out any of the elements. So we were on desire.
Yeah. So desire goes right into permission, you know, which I really feel like is what my job is. I give my clients permission, and not because they need to get it from me, but just they need to get it, period. And ultimately, it's about them learning to give themselves permission to be who they want to be, to explore the things they want to explore, to like the things that they like, and to not like the things that they don't like. And I think so much of what holds people back is that they just simply are not giving themselves permission to really have and do the things that they want to have and do. So that's big. And that's really about, again, dropping into that real erotic authenticity. And then from there, it's play. You know, we have to play. We have to remember that sex is actually supposed to be fun. Mm-hmm. you know, I think a lot of clients, when they come to me, they're in such a serious place about it. It's heavy. They're frustrated. They're sad. There's so much going on that that they've lost the play. And we have to remember how to play and make more light, make more fun. You know, I call assignments for my clients, I call it home play. It's go do your home play or go do your home fun.
Rather than work.
Yeah, I don't want it to feel like work, you know. And it is work. It's deep, juicy, yummy work, but it should be play. And then I think out of play, you know, I talk about skills in that chapter as well, because out of play, that's one of the big ways we develop skills. We hit on something that we're like, ooh, that's really fun. Ooh, I want to do that again.
Which you don't know unless you try it. And probably fuck it up the first few times.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? And then the next thing you know, you're doing it over and over because it's super fun, and then it becomes a skill. I mean, that's sometimes how we develop skills. So and then from there we go into home, which I talked a little bit about earlier. You know, home to me brings together the rest of those elements where there, you know, and I think we have lots of homecomings in our lives, and I get to really witness women have homecomings and help them have those homecomings. And again, I think it's not like we just arrive and then it's going to be static and we're just going to stay there. Like, you might leave yourself again. You might get caught up in a relationship where you kind of abandon yourself again. And you're like, oh shit, I need to like circle back and like come home again. So I really talk about that concept of home. And I think the sexual confidence that really comes from a person when they're at home is that true, authentic, real confidence. It's not a put on. It's deep. And that's the thing that women tell me over and over. People tell me, of all genders, that they want more than anything. They want to develop sexual confidence. And so I think, you know, there's ways we can work on developing our confidence, but I think confidence emerges when people do this work.
When all the other pieces are there.
Yeah.
That also seemed to be a good lesson in this book is, I also think lots of people say, I want sexual confidence or I want to be sexually confident. And we know the more confidence you have, the better the sex you have, the better satisfaction levels you have. Mm-hmm. But it's not a kind of a one-step process.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It is a process. It's an ongoing process. You might have days when when you feel less confident. You know, it's not like you just attain it. And I think we just learn to think of so many things as things we attain, and then we just have. And this is a lifelong process. So,
and you got to keep feeding it, essentially.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. Which is part of the play and part of the desire and part of sort of always staying in it and with it and engaged with your sexuality.
Exactly. Yeah. No one else is going to do it for you. You have to be the one to drive the car, to say, this is important. I'm going to make it important. And the final element, of course, is fire. And to me, that fire is really that internal charge, that internal energy. It's that creative well. It's that juice. It's that, we have lots of different words for it. But, it is that internal sexual energy that I think we use to create all the things that we create in our lives. I think that we're creative beings. I think we come from a very creative experiment and process. What is more creative than two cells creating a whole human being? That is really, really creative. And, so we come from that. However that happens, we come from that. I think we are meant to create. And so I think we use that energy to fulfill whatever our charge for creation is in this world, whether it's creating family or community, whether it's creating art or music or delicious meals, whether it's, creating a business, creating massive worldwide projects. I mean, there's so many different ways in which we create. And I think that we're happiest when we're creating. And I think when people get disconnected from that creative self, that's when we start to feel bad and we start to lose our lust for life.
Well, you make these interesting connections, both from personal experience and more generally, about the connections between sexuality and empowerment and things like art and nature. I'm wondering if you'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, what's more sexual than nature? you can see sexuality everywhere in nature if you look for it. And I really think nature doesn't lie. Nature is truth. And when we start to get caught up in our stories, when we start to get caught up in, the dramas or the things that actually really aren't important, or when we're telling ourselves things that are making us, that we're feeling bad about, go back to nature. Because nature never lies. And it's a place where we can replenish when we feel depleted. And it's the most creative thing on earth, and yet it's everywhere, and we take it for granted sometimes. So I think when I was trying to develop a model of sexuality, which I share in one of the first chapters of the book, I was sharing a model I had used in schools for a long time, I don't talk about the model so specifically in the book, but I had taught with that model for a long time, and it worked really well with junior high kids and high school students and my college students. I taught college for a lot of years, and it didn't work with the women because they were like, where's the erotic? Where's nature? Where's dance and music and art and all those things that make me feel really sexy and juicy and yummy? And I was like, yeah, you're right. This doesn't address that. We don't talk about that enough. But yeah. That's a place where we access that.
Yeah. It reminds me of some of the things in Barbara Corellis' book, Ecstasy is Necessary, where she talks about the ecstatic as beyond the sexual.
Yeah.
All these ways that we sort of access the ecstatic. Yep. So you're traveling around the country promoting this book. And I'm wondering what you would say to a person about where to start. I think starting is one of the hardest things. Starting to change, starting to explore, starting to grow, starting to evolve. What would you say to someone who says, okay, this book really speaks to me, but where do I start? That basic overwhelmed person.
Yeah. I think... I broke it down the way I did because I wanted people to have lots of starting points. And I say in the beginning of the book, read it however you want. If you want to skip around, if you want to read Home or Fire before you read Voice, do it. So I think pick the thing that feels most accessible or like the thing that you're most excited to do something about And start with that. Start with that element. Start with, you know, there's assignments and fun things to do about, you know, all of these things in all of the chapters. And I've got all of that available online if people want to download the worksheets.
Yeah, there's a whole downloadable workbook, and you can sort of follow along in the book, and you have home play after, you know, within every chapter.
Exactly. Yeah. And so just pick one and just decide I'm going to do these things. I mean, a lot of it's super fun, and some of it might, you know, have its pains or whatever, or it's like, you know, the hurdles to break through, but we all have those, you know. And so I think don't be afraid of those when they come up. But do something that feels easier to begin with so that you don't get, you know, discouraged right away and thinking like, oh, you know, oh, I'm never going to do this. I can't do it. You know, just pick that piece and just start. It's all important, and none of it matters, as one of my mentors used to say.
I feel you on that. Okay. Well, I really want to strongly recommend this book to pretty much everyone on the planet. I feel like the moment is right, and we need to do this work. And I feel like you're a great guide to help us do it.
Oh, thank you, Tristan. That means a lot. I appreciate that.
So thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. And I hope to see you all listening somewhere on the road. Please come see me. And just wherever you are on your journey, enjoy it. Enjoy the ride.
Good advice. Okay, Amy Jo Goddard is a sexual empowerment coach, author, and sexuality educator. Her new book that we've been talking about is Woman on Fire, 9 Elements to Wake Up Your Erotic Energy, Personal Power, and Erotic Intelligence. And to coincide with the release of that book, Penguin Random House has also re-released a new edition of the book she co-authored, Lesbian Sex Secrets for Men. So men, if you felt slightly left out of this conversation, that is a really good book for you. Okay. You can find out more about her at amyjogoddard.com. Also look to see if she's coming around to your neck of the woods since she is on tour. You can also go to her fan page, facebook.com/amyjogoddard.coach, and follow her on Twitter at amyjogoddard. And also probably, are you on Periscope now, Amy Jo?
Oh my gosh, I'm about to do
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm about to take the plunge.
There were Periscopes happening at your party in LA, but I guess that wasn't like your Periscope. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I apologize. Okay, so coming soon to Periscope.
Periscope. Kristen, I look forward to seeing you at Sex Down South.
Yes, we're going to see each other at Sex Down South. That's going to be great. And coming up next, I'm going to give you a first-person account of what it's like to make a dildo, high-quality silicone dildo, with the Clone a Willy dildo kit. So you don't want to miss this one, people. It's good. Stay with us.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Hi, everyone. It's Tristan, and I'm so excited that this episode of Sex Out Loud is sponsored by Clone a Willy. Clone a Willy is a kit that comes with everything you need to make a vibrating silicone replica of any penis in the comfort of your own home. Clone a Willy is created by a sex-positive company based in Portland, Oregon, and uses only body-safe materials. Keep your lover with you at all times with the most personalized sex toy on the planet. Visit cloneawilly.com to see the full selection of 100% platinum cure silicone Clone a Willy and Clone a Pussy kits. Enter promo code SEXOUTLOUD at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Clone a Willy is more than a sex toy. It's an experience.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. So I announced our new advertiser, Clona Willy, on last week's episode and encouraged listeners to write to me and test out their product for free. First of all, the response was amazing. And we had more people who wanted to do it than we had kits to give away, which I thought was just really cool. My listeners are really cool. So our intrepid testers are out there testing. And we've gotten our first report back from Jay and Sally from Albany, New York. Now, their report, I have to admit, was very detailed, very long, so I can't share the whole letter with you. But here is an excerpt. I just want to bring you up to speed on where we come into the letter. Basically, they had a first try that was plagued with some erection issues and a delay in mixing the silicone after they made the mold. And so a few things went a little awry in that first try. But luckily, you have a second try. So I'm going to pick that up right from there. So fortunately, Clona Willy had a second packet of alginate, which is the material used to make the mold. So we cleaned out the tube and set up to do round two of the cloning. Since I wake up with incredible strong morning wood, I suggested that we try to create the mold first thing in the morning. We got everything ready. I tended to my erection to make sure I was super hard, and then I stuck it in the mold standing up in the kitchen. A couple of things. The alginate doesn't feel like anything, really. I mean, it's certainly not stimulating. Second, this is a messy process. There was definitely a lot of goop on the floor and in my pubes, etc. Fortunately, the alginate is easy to clean up as it really only sticks to itself, but I'd recommend trimming your pubes or shaving completely before attempting this. And then this is where like the directions could be better. My cock is really straight, and despite sticking it in the tube right down the middle, it seemed to deflect to one side. But you know, the clock was ticking and I didn't really know how to correct that problem, so I just stayed where I was. I'm glad we had the previous attempt because it definitely helped me set my expectations of the process. After 4 hours, we mixed up the silicone and poured it in. We probably poured the silicone in a little fast as there were noticeable air bubbles at the top. The mold had shrunk some during the 4 hours, especially at the top, which ended up producing a nice wide base that was very helpful later. Sticking in the vibrator caused some of the silicone to pour out of the top, but the cleanup was easy. I could see where my cock had pushed up to the side, but there was nothing I could do about it at that point. Again, more directions would be helpful. 24 hours later, my wife texted me, quote, "on my way to prepare the penis." Due to the wide base of the silicone, there's a lot of suction in the tube. I ended up cutting the tube and the mold to get the bright pink dildo out. Here's where I was really surprised. The dildo was incredibly detailed. You could definitely tell it was my cock. From the veins, the frenulum, the head, it just captured a surprising amount of detail. And frankly, that was super hot. My wife was equally amazed by how much detail and remarked, "Yup, that is definitely your cock." The end product was quite bright pink. It's not a color I would have picked for myself, but hey, this is for science. The silicone feels just like a silicone dildo you would buy. And again, I had some noticeable air bubbles just below the surface, but that was probably because I think we poured the silicone too fast. As for usage, it was fun. The vibrator's pretty good, and it definitely helped with a few orgasms. So thanks to our first testers, Jay and Sally. That was really good. I really appreciate the full report. Maybe I can publish that somewhere so people can read it because it's very, very detailed. And of course, I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, Michael on the board today, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of this show or want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be Connor Habib, who I interviewed in front of a live studio audience at CatalystCon. We'll be talking about the rent boy raid, sex work, porn, and much more. Until then, talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.